is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY on this Wednesday, March 27th. And with it being Wednesday, well, that means we're joined by this individual, a familiar voice in the past in these airways, one Kevin Hart. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I am fantastic. Always enjoy hanging out with you. I appreciate you getting up early to join the show. We have quite the way out Wednesday to come here on the program. But before we get to that, we've started a little thing when you've joined us, a little thing called Hot Takes with Hart. And today we will be discussing Quentin Tarantino and his films, because Tarantino, celebrating a birthday today, turns 61. And from all reports, he's got one more movie left in him at 61 years old. And it's going to be, I want to say it's something about the Critic or something.
I think you got it. That's what it is, I believe.
Yeah. So I personally am a big fan of Tarantino. I know for you, as someone who enjoys movies being on the shorter side of things, you may not be as big a fan as I am. So, Hot Takes with Hart, thoughts on director Quentin Tarantino and his body of work thus far?
So, I will say, Tarantino as a person is kind of weird and cringe-worthy.
Yes.
But I do love his movies. I think he's a very brilliant writer and filmmaker. I mean, he makes a lot of long movies, but his movies are usually flow very well. They don't feel like they're super long. You know, take something like Inglourious Basterds or
Django Unchained.
Even Django doesn't feel like it's nearly 3 hours long, but it is.
And the thing I like about Tarantino is while you're watching the movie, there may be a scene that I will fully admit, and I'm with you about him being a weirdo off screen and a little cringeworthy, yes. But when you're watching some of his films, there are the way he will fit something into what seems like innocuous conversation to where you're like, okay, this scene may be going on a bit too long. But inevitably, there'll be something from that conversation or something in the background that then pays off in a very big way later on in the film.
Yeah, he understands storytelling and just film in general on, you know, really on a level that's it's pretty incredible. I mean, when people talk about their favorite movies, you know, you get a lot of, you know, pretty standard answers. But when he was asked about what his favorite movies are, I mean, they're all movies I've honestly never heard of. But he, you know, he has an affinity for a lot of off the beaten path movies. He knows a lot of, like, he has a lot of knowledge. He's got a lot of love for the blaxploitation era, which is pretty prevalent when you see some of his movies. But I mean, he's always been an amazing writer. Like, I just, you know, I said before we went on the air here that I watched Reservoir Dogs pretty recently.
That was his first film. Yeah.
It was his first one. And, you know, it's much shorter. It's like under 2 hours, but it's pretty tight. But I mean, that movie, aside from a few action, like one sort of action piece near the end and some, you know, some violence peppered throughout, it's really all conversation.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and it's all these terrible, terrible people. But, you know, he writes them so well, and it's you know, even knowing how the movie ends and knowing all the punchlines and stuff, it's pretty great to watch. And he really brings these performances out of people that, you know, you wouldn't expect sometimes to be in, you know.
Especially when you look at Pulp Fiction, and that's kind of the one that put him on the map, right? And,
I love Pulp Fiction.
And how he rejuvenated John Travolta's career, because it was a character we've never seen Travolta really play before. And that got Travolta a lot of new work. For me, the thing about the Tarantino movie is they're so vastly different but similar, if that makes sense. From Reservoir Dogs to Pulp Fiction, and then you saw, even within the Kill Bill franchise, right? Kill Bill Volume 1, to me, is kind of Tarantino's most straightforward, straight-ahead action movie, right? But then when Kill Bill 2 comes along, it's a return to more classic Tarantino, where it's a much more dialogue-driven movie in Kill Bill 2 than the straight-ahead action movie of Kill Bill 1. And to me, that's the brilliance of Tarantino, of his ability to make different kind of films, but still follow, to your point, that same kind of pacing and writing style of his.
Which I think is great for Kill Bill, because, you know, I've often said to a few of my friends that if Kill Bill was made today, Tarantino would have made it like a 3-hour and 15-minute movie.
Yes.
And, you know, and if it's really good, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I love The Irishman, and it's like, what, 4 hours long or something? But I think it's really good. No, Kill Bill, I mean, that's another one that I just, you know, I was probably too young to watch it, but I remember watching it like years and years ago. And, you know, it's much more action oriented, especially that final 30 minutes when she's just tearing through the crazy 88s.
Yes.
But, there's a lot of scenes in that second one that I love, you know, just little scenes like, Michael Madsen going into work and his like boss, like, get that, you know, hat off. I told you never to come back in here. I mean, you know, just like little funny, memorable moments, like the sheriff at the beginning of the second one. You know, that's great. I mean, you know, speaking of the blaxploitation era, you know, the Jackie Brown is also. I used to not really care for that one, but that's kind of an underrated movie.
It is.
It's pretty good.
It is. So it'll be interesting to see when the critic finally comes out, if he is, in fact, sticking to his guns of that being his final film. If it is, I mean, that body of work it already has makes him an all-time great, in my opinion. I know a lot of other people's mileage may vary. I know him as a person is very cringe, but his films, I think, speak for themselves.
Got more hits than misses, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly with that. So there's Hot Takes with Heart from Quentin Tarantino, 61 years old today. Don't do anything too weird, Quentin. Please let's at least get to the critic, and then, you know, if you want to continue to be weird, go right ahead. But don't do anything to jeopardize that last film, please. We'll take a break. When we come back, it is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY on this Wednesday, March 27th, joined by a familiar voice from the past, Kevin Hart.
Hey, hey.
And, Kev, we started something way back in the day. I imagine we've done this at least over 100 times now throughout the history of our being together. And we don't do it at the start of the week because people wouldn't be paying attention as much, and we don't do it at the end of the week because people are so focused on the weekend. We really want to grab their attention. So where does this fall within the week?
Well, we make sure to get their attention by doing it in the middle of the week, because that's Wednesday, and that's way out
Wednesday, where we have these news stories that are vastly underreported by the lamestream media. So, mm-hmm. Kevin, where are we beginning today on Way Out Wednesday?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're striking gold this morning.
Oh, there's gold in them there hills away on Wednesday?
Gold in them there hills. And, you know, it has to do with a man being late.
Okay.
You know, something I am all too familiar with. a man named Richard Brock, metal detecting for 35 years.
Oh, he's one of those guys, huh?
Yeah, but he found a 54-gram nugget of gold.
In a beach? Where the hell was he?
In a beach. Well, yeah. There was like a big, like, sort of event they were doing, you know.
Okay.
Like a big, you know, a big excavation, I guess.
And he's like, don't forget about me. I got my metal detector.
He showed up basically like at the very last minutes. And he was like, well, I guess I'll do this. And he found one of the biggest pieces of gold.
Man, look at that guy go. And it, you know, we always, the metal detector guys always, inevitably, we're just talking about movies, is inevitably always the biggest, geekiest looking guy who's got the zinc on his nose and everything else and the headphones. And he's always the biggest nerd with his beep, 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 beep. But good on this guy for finding him some gold. Speaking of gold, A lot of gold medals will be given out this summer at the Paris Olympics. And in honor of the Olympics coming to Paris, a tradition like no other returned for the first time in 13 years in Paris as waiters and waitresses raced through the streets of the French capital, balancing a tray with a croissant, coffee cup, and a glass of water. The fastest competitors from Paris's cafes and bistros took to the starting line this past Sunday. So it's basically running a race. The 110-year-old event was held for the first time after a 13-year hiatus and is being used to promote this summer's Olympics held in the city. The 1.25-mile-long race celebrated the agile men and women who make France's cafes and bistros tick. So they have to have their tray with the croissant, the coffee cup, and the water. Now you can't be spilling it. Around 200 participants dressed in their uniforms loaded up their trays with a regulation pastry, a small but empty coffee cup, because you don't want anyone burnt in this whole thing, but the full glass of water. At the end of the race, they were judged on how much liquid they had spilled as well as their time. So it wasn't just a mad dash. You got to make sure you keep some liquids. There's judging at the end. Pauline Van Wymersch and Sammy Lemroux were crowned Paris's fastest waitress and waiter.
See, I would rather watch that than like the multitude of
Olympic sports,
country music shows, or something.
Yeah. The woman winner, Miss Van Wymersch, she finished it in 14 minutes and 12 seconds. She said she started being a server at the age of 16, is now 34. She says, I love it as much as I hate it. It's in my skin. I cannot leave it. It is hard. It's exhausting. It's demanding. It's 12 hours per day. No weekends. No Christmases. That is typical French, right? Everything always sucks. Even there's always the drain of humanity.
The sad accordion playing as she smokes a cigarette.
Exactly. Then Mr. Lamoureux, who won the race in a time of 13 minutes and 30 seconds, he basically said that, it's part of his DNA as well, and he enjoys it, but also I detest it as well. So it stopped in 2011 due to a lack of a sponsor. However, similar races have still taken place in French towns and cities such as Marseille and other countries like Spain since then. So kudos to the two winners, who I guess would kind of thank you for the congratulations, but also say it's a burden to be the winner.
It's a living.
What's next that way on Wednesday, Kev?
Well, guys, it's some pretty disturbing news coming out of California. First of all, there was a deadly train collision in Wasco on Friday. Now that's already pretty big news. But what came of that is some truly weird. Speaking of Tarantino, something that probably would be in a Tarantino movie is a man took a severed leg of one of the victims of the crash.
What?
Not only did he take it from the scene, he took a bite out of it.
Oh, so was it this? So this guy wasn't on the train.
No,
he just happened upon the train derailment, the terrible accident. Found a severed leg and said, "You know what? I always wondered what this tasted like. I'm gonna take a gnaw out of it, and it's mine now."
Yeah, there's video of it. I'm not watching it.
No,
and I'm not linking it anywhere.
No,
but yeah, it says that he appearing to hold a severed body part, eat from it, wipe his face off, and then make his way down the sidewalk.
Yeah, what was that guy on? That individual had to be on something. You don't just walk up to a severed limb and decide that's a good place to have a snack.
Yeah, well, the guy, unsurprisingly, had multiple outstanding warrants, and they arrested him basically almost immediately.
Yeah, that guy never gets to be back in society again.
Yeah, you can stay. You can stay under the jail.
Yeah.
Like, that's just...
Oh, my God. And finally, a Way Out Wednesday, when a relationship goes bad... It inevitably someone loses something in the breakup, right? Somebody will take something of someone else's. If it's a bad breakup, it's never going to be completely clean. Well, let me introduce you to this poor woman who doesn't know whether to laugh or cry after her plumber boyfriend stole her toilet following their breakup. She decided to end things with her boyfriend because he doesn't pay his way and refuses to tip service staff, both traits she doesn't want in a long-term partner. Shortly after their breakup, she went to lie down in her bedroom while he packed his bags to leave their shared home. But she ended up falling asleep while he collected his belongings, so she's crying herself to sleep. And then she decides, uh-oh, I gotta use the restroom. When she wakes up, she discovers her toilet was missing. She said, quote, I split up with my boyfriend yesterday. I fell asleep while he was packing, and he stole my toilet. He's a licensed plumber, so he knew what he was doing. I won't lie. I've been laughing about it, too. Every breakup just gets more interesting. Going into further detail about her reason for breakup, she added, nothing about him makes sense. He's the cheapest you-know-who I've ever met. He refuses to tip servers at restaurants because that's not how they do it in Japan, which they don't. I went to Japan, and tipping's not a thing over there. But you're in a different culture now, and he wouldn't pay the power bill for the whole time we lived together. With not another toilet in the house, she was forced to run a Taco Bell every time she needed to use the restroom.
Oh, no. I would rather just, you know, chance it with a hole in your, like, bathroom floor than go to a Taco Bell bathroom.
Or go in the bathtub. I mean, if it's just the number one, you're not going to go number two in there.
But anything.
But it's all plumbing in that particular situation. And to have to go to the freaking Taco Bell every time. Out of all the places I have to go, like, where does a Taco Bell rank? It's like maybe like gas station in the middle of nowhere and then Taco Bell would be the two worst choices.
I'd say you go to a high-end gas station over Taco Bell.
Exactly. So eventually she did, though, find enough fundage to get herself a brand new toilet, and now she doesn't have to run to Taco Bell. Boy, that's just, pardon the pun, but that's just crappy of him to do.
It is. It's look, it's funny, but it is like, wow, you are, especially knowing that he's like such a jerk anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Well, thank you very much, Kevin Hart, for joining us here another Way Out Wednesday.